Today we're finding that the church is being attacked from all sides. And a lot of times they're very subtle attacks, almost like broadsides sometimes, way out, some are way out in the open. Recently we've had comments to the point that as to whether one particular church is on the true path to salvation, and all other churches are defective. One such assertion was made. And recently, in the Tennessean, on the opinion page, there's a lady who's a columnist for the Tennessean, whose name I cannot pronounce. She's up to the top of the page most every Friday, Saturday. And she's Hindu. Well, she was happy for what the Pope had said about, you know, the church, the universal church, the Catholic Church being the only way to salvation. Because for years she said Protestants had said that the Hindus were going to the bad place. And so she was glad to see the Protestants get a little taste of their own medicine, so to speak. No matter where you go today, there are more things that you cannot say about the church or about just about anything, or that folks don't want you to, because it's not politically correct, or it's not polite, or you're not being nice about it. You're being too harsh, or you're too radical. In the early church, it was no different. They had detractors. When Jesus came on the scene, as he had his ministry, he spent his time teaching, but he was under the law, and he obeyed the law of Moses. And yet, when he died upon the cross, the law of Moses was done away with. And the teachers of Christ, the teachers of the gospel from that point forward, began to teach that it was through the church, that it was through Christ that salvation came. And there was one particular word that was used many times, a number of times in the book of Acts, after the beginning of the church, in reference to the church. And that word was W-A-Y. W-A-Y. Fairly simple word, and most of the time we wouldn't think of it as having a spiritual or scriptural significance. I'll give you a few references from God's Word in just a few moments, but I looked up the word way in a religious encyclopedia. And in Zondervan's pictorial encyclopedia of the Bible states this, that concerning the way that is of Jesus Christ, the final and perfect revealer, and in his person, and is by his sacrificial death, the living and personal way to God, his holiness and his salvation, teacher of the way of truth, himself the only way to God, speaking of Jesus, and the one who opens up the way into the holiest by his sacrifice, gives a reference in Hebrews Chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, verse 2, Paul, at that time he was Saul, he went to the high priest in Jerusalem, and he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, or the way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And later in Acts 19, verse 9, in the synagogue at Ephesus, Luke's words are, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way, before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Tyrannus, speaking of Paul. And again in Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, according to Acts 19:23, Luke records, at the same time there arose no small stir about that way. W-A-Y. Acts 22, verse 4. When Paul was before the Jewish multitude, as he was being chastised, as he was having to make his defense, he said, "And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women." The way. Well, that word was used earlier in the Bible, earlier than Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, the 28 chapters there. Where Jesus had used it in John chapter 14. His disciples were concerned when Jesus says he was going away. And Peter, and I'm assuming others too, would say, you know, "Well, we'll go with you. We'll follow you wherever you go." And it wasn't too far away time-wise when Jesus would be tried at mock trials after being betrayed by one of his own, who would be crucified on a cross, who would be laid in his grave. Disciples were going to be discouraged. He made all these promises. He spoke of a kingdom that was not of this world. But we thought he was going to build a kingdom in this world, on the earth. Peter had even said, "Why, you know, folks may deny you, but I won't deny you, Lord. I won't deny you. I'll stay with you." Jesus said in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." To an extent, the Pope was right. The one church. Jesus had his one church. Now, he doesn't say everything right, but to that extent is the one church. But the Catholic Church likes to think they're the church, and they date all the way back to the first century, or if they seek to. And that the rest of us have just splinters off of them, or branches. And that's not the case. We're seeking to study God's Word and to know the truth. And it's the truth that will set us free. "Sanctify thy word is truth," Jesus said. And we have the faith that was once delivered to all the saints. We have the gospel of Christ that was preached to the church at Corinth, that was preached to churches in Galatia, that was preached in the book of Acts throughout all the Mediterranean area. We have the same gospel, the same truth, the same faith that they taught by which people were saved. That same gospel can be taught today, and it will produce in the same manner. Both can be saved by obeying that gospel. But speaking of the way of Jesus, Jesus had said in Matthew 7:14, earlier, said, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way." That's the word again. "Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life." What then is the way of Christ? This lady that wrote this article in the paper had something on that about the afterlife there. She says, you know, "I sometimes wonder about the logistics of the afterlife." You know, a lot of times people wonder. They wonder based upon their own limited abilities. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can too. She said there are three parts possibilities concerning this afterlife. It seems to me that that there's only one among all religions is true, in which case only its adherents will go to heaven. So she admits that could be one of them. But then she kind of gives folks wiggle room. Two, there are different paths to salvation, in which case heaven is probably a series of subdivisions. That word subdivision wasn't used a long time ago, was it? Do you have any subdivisions? All of us folks are a little bit over 30. Did we have subdivisions back when we were growing up? No. Not very many if it did. If you had a subdivision, you live in town. You live out of the country, there were no subdivisions. But anyway, so there was a serious subdivision with a Muslim subdivision headed by Allah, a Christian subdivision led by God, and so on. Then she gives another. Last is the possibility that we are mere entities, operating in a physical universe held together by natural laws, in which case we go poof when we die. And nothing happens. That's a bunch of garbage. She doesn't take a stance on anything. In fact, she goes on to say, you know, the older I get, and she doesn't look like she's very old. I think she needs to get a little older. The older I get, the more beauty I see in the phrase, I believe, but I don't know for sure. I believe, but I don't know for sure. That's a hopeless situation. Paul, in writing to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and in their resurrection. He says, if you don't believe in the resurrection, you are of all people most miserable. If there is no resurrection of Christ, what are you doing here this morning? If we believe that what she says about, well, we're just here and all these things happen naturally. One day, there was a big bang. That's what some folks believe. Then she says that at death, poof. I'm not sure all Hindus think it's poof themselves. Because they think they come back as cows, monkeys, and whatever, I think. So, no poof from them. Then she quotes Billy Graham. Sometimes he's gotten close enough to the truth just to really mess people up. She says she took comfort when Billy Graham said to Newsweek last year, he was asked whether he believes heaven will be closed to good Jews, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, or secular people. The mellowed preacher said, those are decisions only the Lord will make. And he was right. We need to add something. Those are decisions that only the Lord can make. And according to my Bible, He's already made them. He's already made them. If we're obedient to Christ, if we follow His Word, follow God's Word, there's a way of salvation. There's a way of salvation for the Hindu. There's a way of salvation for the Muslim. There's a way of salvation for all Protestant groups. But they must be united in God's Word. Not united on a bunch of compromises. Not be united in spite of many, many differences. Many, many differences. Jesus is a way of love. It was love that brought Him to this earth. So if we think about the word way and how we can look back to Jesus' life, He said He was the way, and how we can follow Him as to the way. Now, basically, He's speaking there, though, that there's now access to God through Him. Now, Adam and Eve, when they left the garden, prior to that time, they walked and talked with God in the garden. After they had sinned, and when they heard that gate clang behind them, did they any longer walk with God in the garden? They were excluded from the garden. They no longer walk with God there in the garden. They now had to deal with sin. They had to deal with a lot of heartache. They had to deal with a lot of blisters on their hands tilling the ground. a lot of things changed. They were separated from God. Separated from God. But Jesus came, and He's the way back to God. And the way, the truth, and the life. It was love that took Him to the cross. John says in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, it must have been terrible. The death on the cross is terrible enough, but what if you knew days and years ahead that it was coming? I think many of us would want to get out of Dodge. Many of us would want to get out of town. Well, Jesus, in the garden, His human side came out there because He said, you know, if it be so, you know, let this cup pass from me. I'm human. I know there's going to be pain. But then He added, nevertheless, not as I will, but Thy will be done. And folks, we need to do that today. We need to encourage folks to do that today. Let's get back into being good Bible students. Let's get back to doing things in Bible ways and saying things in Bible ways and thinking things based upon what God's Word says. We see Jesus' love, His way of love in all His dealings with men. Remember John 9:36. Jesus looked out over the people and says there in John, in Matthew rather, 9, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. They were weary. They were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He was concerned about the direction of their lives. Are we concerned about the direction of our lives? Is the life that we're leading on that straight way and narrow way, or is it just on that Broadway? It's unusual that we have a street downtown called Broadway. Lower Broadway. Late at night, probably not the place to be. Broadway. Probably better to be on that narrow street out in your subdivision, in your home. But the narrow way has to do with life and how we are able to find it through Christ. Jesus commends that way to us. He went about doing good deeds. Peter said of Jesus in Acts 10:38. The great commandment, Jesus was asked at one time, well, what's a great commandment? He said, you need to love God. What's the saying? What's like? You need to love man as yourself. You need to love your neighbor. And before He left this earth, He would leave His apostles with something to live by. He said, a new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And they had seen many things that He had done to show His love for them. Not too long before the cross. In fact, just a chapter before, chapter 14 we read from a while ago, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And He was giving them an illustration of the humility that was going to be necessary if they were to get along together in those 12 men preaching the gospel to the known world. Jesus was a way of love. His was a way of obedience. And Hebrews 5:8-9 tells us that, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience for the things which He suffered. Then made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation. And to all them that obey Him. So there's more to do than initially believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. There's more to do than just initially repenting of our sins. There's more to do than just initially being baptized. And starting out in our Christian life, we must continue. We must keep on keeping on. Many of the congregations to whom Paul and others wrote in the first century, the basic problem was they were not keeping on. They were not standing up. They were falling by the wayside. And it can happen. It can happen today. The theme of Jesus' life on earth was, I came down from heaven. And I came to do the will of the Father. Will of Him that sent me. John 6:38. His was the way of unity. Jesus prayed for unity. A lot of folks now, including the lady who wrote this article, she wants to have those subdivisions in heaven. Well, a lot of folks, before they get there, want to have subdivisions. Denomination means division. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let there be no divisions among you. Be of the same mind, of the same judgment. He spoke to his apostles again in John chapter 17. And he spoke to them of unity. He knew that they were going to need to exemplify unity as they stood up against those who would be against the gospel. As they defended the faith. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for all them that shall believe on me through their word. Us. Down through the century. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. And they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Sometimes the biggest obstacle in somebody out there believing in Jesus or not believing in Jesus, that main obstacle may be me. I may be standing in the way. My example may not be the right example for them. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to the Father. But as he lived on earth, he lived a life that was a way of love. That was a way of obedience. Also, he lived a life that was a way of unity and a way of separation in the fourth place. We look through Bible history. If we go back to the time that the law was given, even before then, we see that Abraham is spoken to by God in Genesis chapter 12. Well, why did God speak to Abraham? Well, he said, you know, get out from your country, Abraham, and I'll show you land where you're to go. He separated Abraham and his family. He separated them. God has always separated his people. He separated them, and down through the years, they became the children of Israel, or the children of Jacob, a descendant of Abraham. And then they were given the law after coming out of Egypt. And they were given this law, and no one else was given that law. They were separated. God separated them from the other nations, and Christ separated himself. In Hebrews 7:26, writer of Hebrews says concerning Christ, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners. Separated from sinners. John 15:18-19. Some additional words of encouragement, consolation, caution, or whatever to his apostles. Jesus said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, separate, therefore the world hateth you. The way of Christ is still a way of separation. A lot of times we don't want to separate. We don't want to separate from those old friends that we had to friends that are negative, that are friends that are dragging us down. In 2 Corinthians 6, then verses 17 and 18. If we're to be interested in following the way of Christ, there's only one course that's open. Jesus says, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. To try to mix what God's teaching says with other religious groups or with what one man has said or what some false teachers come along and proposed, is not acceptable. He expects us to be separate people. Look at 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. And we'll begin reading in verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. Peter speaking to Christians. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, or a people for God's own possession, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the souls, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be they by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. We have in this book the Word of God. We have in here the teachings of Jesus in the Gospel accounts. We have in here the inspired apostles and other inspired writers revealing to us other teachings from the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, God, Jesus Christ, working together as one, have revealed God's holy will to us. And this, according to the Bible, is the last revelation. This is a message delivered to us. This is the instruction book that comes with us. This is the map that we need to follow. This is the map. This is our GPS device. We need to turn left at the next corner that tells you what direction to go. Not the physical direction, but the spiritual direction. Jesus' way is a way of love. Greater love hath no man than this, than he gave his life for a friend. His is a way of obedience, obedient even unto death, the writer says. His is a way of unity. Let there be no divisions among you. And Jesus' prayer was that all may be one. And his is a way of separation. He separated himself because he was tempted in all things like us, but he was without sin. Come ye out from among them, God has always said to his people. Come ye out from among them and be ye separate. Jesus says to us down through the years, this is just as relevant as it was when it was written. It's just as relevant as it was when it was written. If Jesus was the way to God then, he's the way to God now. It doesn't matter what I say. That's what God's Word says. It doesn't matter what some preacher on the radio says. That's what God's Word says. It doesn't matter what somebody in the newspaper says. This is what God's Word says. Let us know more about the Bible than we do about the people that write in the papers or the lessons that a preacher has. Let's be folks who will stand on our own two feet. And we'll call the truth the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Are you here this morning and you've not become a Christian, but having studied God's Word on your own or with someone, you believe that without Jesus you're lost. Without the sacrifice of God's Son upon the cross as a perfect sacrifice, our sins cannot be remitted and forgiven. If you find yourself in that situation, are you willing to repent of your sins, be baptized as the Bible commands for the forgiveness of those sins, then to rise and walk in newness of life? As a Christian, if you desire prayers which do rededicate your life to Christ, why not do that today as we stand, as we sing the songs of the Lord?